So I'm going to carry on talking about communion again today. You're going to look in John chapter 6, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. And while you do that, I'm nearly at the end of this series, okay? I hope you're finding it beneficial. I hope you can tell, I'm just loving doing this. I'm loving talking about this. Today I'm going to be talking about communion as food. Real food. So John chapter 6 verse 25 is where we're looking. And the context, if you read, and we're not going to read the beginning of John. In fact, I'm going to read a fairly long passage of scripture, but I'm not going to read the whole of John chapter 6. But the beginning of John chapter 6 is the feeding of the 5,000, to give you some context. Then Jesus walks on water, and then he says this, what we're going about to read. So it's just a normal day for Jesus, really, you know. Feeding the 5,000, walking on water, and then he says this. The crowd start to look for him on the other side of the lake, having walked on water. So verse 25 says this. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then he asked them, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I and the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me, and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given to me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, "I came down from heaven"? "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Okay. Got all that? Taken that all in? It's quite a long bit of text there. But remember, Jesus is speaking to a crowd, some of which, maybe the majority of which, are the 5,000 who he's fed. Some of the crowd may be others who have heard about the feeding of the 5,000 who have sort of joined in to come find out what's going on. And you could imagine that somebody who has a big ego might think, I've drawn a crowd. I've become popular. I've got influence here. I've got power as a result. I mean, that is what the modern world seems to be all about. Let's see how many followers we can get, how much influence we can have. Even if we know nothing about anything, we can just say whatever we like as long as we've got people who are following us. We feel like we've got some status. Now, if Jesus was interested in that, he could have done some different things. But he doesn't seem to be interested in any of that. And he seems to do his level best to lose as many followers as possible in this thing that he says, in everything that he says here. So to start with, he calls out their motivations. And he says, you know what? And he's speaking to everybody. You're not here because of the miracles and the signs. You're not here for some spiritual experience. You're not here to learn discipleship from the rabbi. You're here because of the food. You're here because of the food. Nothing wrong in that. In a way, nothing wrong with that. I remember at university, whenever the Christian Union did an event, it was kind of like, if we put on food, yeah, they'll come. Students, they'll come. You know, it doesn't matter what the event is. As long as you have food, pizza, I don't know, hot dogs, they'll come. It's guaranteed. And to a certain extent, that's pretty true. Food, if we're honest, is a basic human need, isn't it? And it trumps pretty much everything else. If you offer food, it will attract hungry people, probably not even hungry people. You just have to wave food in front of people. They want it, you know. It matters. It's a basic necessity. I mean, ask a hungry person. You'd say to them, do you want to come to a Bible study or would you like to come for dinner? What's the answer going to be?
Dinner.
Yeah? They ain't going to be listening to you. Even if you're the wisest teacher in the world, even if you've got great insight, I don't know, offer them a cheese sandwich even, and they'll come. They'll be there. They're not going to be listening to you. So their stomachs are full. So let's remember this story of old now. There's a story even older than the one we just read. In Exodus 16, you've got the Israelites, and they've been led out of slavery. They're trekking through the desert in freedom. They've been slaves for hundreds of years, and now they're free people. And you would think they'll be thinking, yeah, this is great. I can kick the sand and I can run or I can jump. I can do whatever I want. We can play football in the desert, whatever we want to do. We're free. We can do whatever we want. But what do you think they're talking about? They're grumbling. Yeah, they're grumbling because they've got empty stomachs. They're starving to death, apparently. And the food that they had in captivity is enticing them. They're not rejoicing in the freedom and the power of God, which they've just experienced. Amazing miracle, parting the sea and going through and the Egyptians and all of that. They're not rejoicing in that anymore. They're hungry and they're moaning about it. Maybe you've been on a family trip where the kids are the same thing. We've come all this way. We're seeing some great, amazing thing. You know, you may be out in some sort of amazing scenery out in the hills somewhere, or you've gone all the way into London and they're on the Thorpe Park or something, and you've got all the ride. You're on the ride. I'm hungry. It's like, what? But we're here now. Do you not get it? I'm hungry. So that's the situation. I mean, don't think we'd be any different in this situation. We read these stories and we laugh at these dear Israelites thinking, oh dear, they didn't get the point. They didn't get it. But I think we would have been exactly the same because food matters. And they were at the point where they were seriously contemplating just going back to Egypt and kind of handing themselves back in, if you like, and just for the sake of food. It's a powerful motivator. So the Lord tells Moses in this story, he says, I will rain down bread from heaven for them. Because the Lord hears their grumbling. He sees their need. And so he provides this mysterious bread. If you know the story, it's not just you know, something that they would have been familiar with. I mean, maybe they would have familiar with some kind of unleavened bread or something. If it was us, we would expected him to drop down some Hovis white sliced or something, you know. We know what that is. But instead, the Lord provides this mysterious bread. They weren't used to it. And so the Israelites, they find it and they say, what is it for? What's this for? It's a mystery to them. In fact, they call it manna. Do you know what manna means? What is it? What are you having for dinner? What is it? No, what are you having for dinner? What is it? What? I mean, again, if you've got kids, they will always ask, what's for dinner? And if you said to them, what is it? It's going to be a long conversation. It's going to go on for a while. So every day they got this heavenly delivery of what is it bread. And that fed them and sustained them for the entire journey. And they lived on the bread from heaven, this manna, which was essential to their survival. So that's how God sustained them. He literally sustained them with the what is it bread. So anyway, let's get back to this crowd that's with Jesus, this crowd of foodies. So Jesus exposes their motivations, if you like, the reasons for being there. You're here because of the food, he says. And so he takes that story of the manna, the what is it bread from heaven, and he retells it. Jesus has this great way of retelling those old stories around himself. There's stories of that they would have known and understood, hopefully, Jesus retells this story around himself. And he says, it wasn't Moses actually who gave you that bread, by the way. Remember that. It wasn't Moses. It was the Father in heaven who provided the bread from heaven. And then so he goes on, he says, there's a true bread that the Father provides. And I, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness and died. But Jesus then speaks of himself as something greater. He says, I'm the true bread of heaven, that if you eat this bread, it will be everlasting life. Eat this new bread from heaven and you will live forever. Now, just then, as it probably is now, there's probably people in that crowd with Jesus thinking, and just as there probably are people here right now thinking, if you're not, then I think you need to question whether you've been listening carefully, but you're probably thinking, or they're probably thinking, that's a bit weird. Yeah? What is he talking about? It's a bit odd. I mean, how does that work? How do we eat Jesus, this bread from heaven? I mean, Jesus is this person. I mean, I'm sure they had these questions. They had local knowledge, actually. They said, look, how can this be? This is Joseph's son. I mean, they obviously knew him very familiarly. We know his mum. We know his dad. What's he talking about? He's come from heaven. So here, Jesus makes things completely clear. Or let's be honest, completely. If that wasn't weird, he makes it even weirder. He says this. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. There you go. The preacher's job is to make things understood, right? Yeah. So here's Jesus, and he says that. And you think, I just imagine some of them are like thinking, yeah, it was good, the food was good, but this is getting a little strange now. I think I might just leave, you know. I wonder how many were left. Maybe 5,000 started there, but I wonder how many were left at the end of this church service. I mean, does that clarify anything for you? For them? Maybe, maybe not. But let's remember these words when we come to take communion, because that's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus' flesh is real food and his blood is real drink. And just like the Israelites, they ate real bread from heaven and they called it, what is it? This meal, this real meal. When we gather together to take communion, we're eating real food as we feed on Christ. We feed on Christ as we share communion together. Now, that's a mystery, okay? Yeah, it's a mystery. I don't quite get it. I can't quite explain it, but it's true. And I think what it does is it takes communion from being just a ritual to something that is of a vital importance. Jesus said it was. Just as the Israelites in the desert had to eat that manna to survive, they had no option. There wasn't anything else. Apart from the quail, which also the Lord provided. But it's just, that's it. It comes from heaven. It's vital to survive, so we need the true bread, Jesus, to survive. So it's more than, when we take communion, it's more than just a symbolic act. There's a real sacrament. We talked about sacrament a few weeks ago, where Jesus in the meal is our real food. And it takes our belief in Christ being more than just something that we believe in our head, which is important, but also it's something that we ingest into our body, into our life, into the very being. Now, we'll probably never get our heads around that. And there's differing opinions of how that works. You know, I haven't even got into the minefield that will be to talk about the different ways that maybe the Catholic Church or different Protestant ways on how we understand Christ is in this bread and this wine. And there's, you know, always going to be differing opinions. We're always going to have mystery here. But I love what Tom Wright says. Tom Wright, one of my favorite theologians, he says, in the early church, there was a range of opinions. He's talking about how this actually works. And he said, what mattered, though, was that those who came to the Lord's Supper in true faith really did feed on Christ. They really were nourished by the person and the presence and the love of Jesus. How that happened, the theological chemistry of it, if you like, wasn't important and probably wasn't knowable either. The important thing was that they fed on Christ. So as we take communion, let us eat the bread from heaven. The Israelites had that foretaste of Christ, the bread from heaven, which was mysterious to them. They called it, what is it? That's what their bread was. We have the fullness of Christ revealed to us. We know this true bread from heaven, what it's called. This bread's called Jesus. Not what is it, but Jesus. So as we take communion, Christ nourishes us with himself and we feed on him. He's the real food that sustains us to eternal life. It's a real meal. And so finally, let's just again remember the context of what Jesus is saying. He's got these 5,000 people that he's fed. And I think here's the thing. You could think, well, there's a miracle, 5,000 people fed. And that's impressive. But I don't think it was really Jesus doing some kind of humanitarian work here. It wasn't just that they were hungry. He wasn't just trying to impress the people or show the people even, not even necessarily impress, he wasn't about that, but just to show people that this could be done by God. Actually, he was giving a greater picture that this feeding here that happened to the 5,000, which fed you, literally fed you, is what I am about. I am the real bread from heaven. He's demonstrating in a much bigger way that feeding of the 5,000 is only just a picture of what really happens when we feast on Christ. That he nourishes us and sustains us, not just for now, but for eternal life. No one can survive without that food. So let us come to Christ and feed on him. So I guess a question we can ask ourselves when we come to take communion is, are you hungry? Not, have you had your breakfast? Because all these guys had their breakfast. They had their feeding of the 5,000 meal. But are you hungry? Do you need Christ? Do you need to be nourished by him? And I think we can all eat more of him. We can all know more of him. So what we're going to do today is we're going to pray together now the Lord's Prayer. And particularly as we pray that prayer, which Jesus taught and is often something that is prayed before taking communion, remember it says in there, give us this day our daily bread. And I think that has now at least two meanings. It is a prayer for us to say, yeah, I do need my lunch today, because without my lunch I'm going to go hungry and it's going to be difficult to get through the day or the week. Yes, in a practical sense, but also in a spiritual sense, this is real food. As we share communion together, give us this day our daily bread, which is nourish us all on Christ, this with a real meal here in Christ. So we'll pray that. Let's do that first. Let's pray that. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together.